Hello and welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from my lessons on the Book of Romans. I've been going through the Book of Romans and trying to find out the good parts of it, all the parts of it, not that there's anything not good, and share them with people. And the next public sharing of this, Lord willing, is September 3rd. Sunday school in the morning and evening church. I will be both sharing both of those times on the Book of Romans. That's Brinford Bible Church, 5700 North Pulaski in the city of Chicago, 10 a.m. for the first sharing and 6 o'clock for the other. Come to our church service at 11. All right, we're in 125 of Romans. We're taking the very scenic route of this book, and it leads us through some very difficult valleys and caverns and canyons, and we're in some of the worst parts of it right now, but we'll get out of this eventually. 125. Let me just read the beginning of the verse. Actually, it's in the middle of a sentence. I want to start at the beginning of the sentence. That's in verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them, that's these people who suppress the true humans, all humans, up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Notice here that the sentence continues, as I just read, from verse 24. God gave them up to uncleanness, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Who did God give up? The ones who had the truth but believed the lie. Now that sounds pretty familiar. If you're a human being listening to me, I'm assuming that you are, you get it. You've done this yourself. What truth? The truth that they suppressed is verses 18 to 21, the truth about who God is, the truth about his invisible attributes that were clearly seen in nature. Here, instead of suppressed, in this verse, verse 25, Paul uses the imagery of exchanging. It's like going to God's store. Saying, here, God, I tried it. I don't really want this. It doesn't fit. Could I exchange it for something else? How about a lie? Well, of course, there's no lies in heaven for God to give out. So they have to get those lies, verse 21, through the futility or vanity of their thoughts, through their wild imaginations. And, of course, the father of lies is present always, putting those lies out there within reach of humanity. And this pattern just continues throughout the course of history. God gives truth, and Satan says, is that really true? Man questions and searches out other truths, quote unquote. Look at Jeremiah 13:25. God's own chosen people fell from truth. And God says to them, you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Even the chosen ones do this. It's in the church of our day. Christian leaders are exchanging truth for the lies of our culture. MacArthur tells of an advice columnist who was asked by a sincere Christian, and I don't know why she's writing to an advice columnist, but anyway, she writes and says, how can I deal with all these sexual desires and still hold on to my Christian faith? Evidently, the inquirer was in a relationship and was hoping for some tips about self-restraint, maybe some really good advice she was hoping for. Now, this columnist evidently had a Christian counselor on her staff, and so she referred the question to this other lady. The other lady's advice, here it is, from Christian, quote unquote. Such decisions are up to each couple to make for themselves. Sex in a loving relationship is all right without the sanction of marriage. If it's in a loving relationship. Now, how many people do you think, hearing that advice, would immediately conclude, hey, our relationship is not loving? No, they're going to justify. People hear what they want to hear from people, and they exchange the truth of God for the lie. It just works in all the theological things, too. I read this thing in the Bible, boy, I don't know, how can that be true? And they go talk to somebody else, And that person agrees with them and tells them how they look at it. And that person starts to look at it the same way because they don't want to look at it the way it really is in the text. Because then they're going to have to change a whole lot of things. Change the truth of God for a lie. The lie, in this case, you're your own person. Do what feels right. Do what feels good. That's the lie. The truth, you're not your own person. You were purchased with a price. So glorify God in that body that was purchased. Keep that body in this context for one man or woman that God has for you. Truth is difficult to obey, but easy to enjoy. Lies are easy to follow, but difficult to digest. Mankind over the years, says Paul, wanted the lie, embraced the lie, and in so doing, worshipped. I'm going on in the text now, and served the creature, the created thing, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now that's Paul's amen. I didn't say that, although I could agree with him. Now Paul has already brought all of this out in verse 23. We've covered it. Nothing new here, except that last part, who is blessed forever. Where'd that come from? A little bit of happiness here. MacArthur suggests that Paul is coming up for air. He's been talking for a while now about the evils of men, how they don't glorify or thank this glorious Creator. Paul decides that what they won't do, he will do right here, right now. He says, I don't care what the world thinks about my God. I know He is blessed forever, and I'm going to say so. It's a wonderful break, don't you think, in the flow of things? But armed with that light, we have to descend a while back into the darkness. It continues and gets worse. Yeah, gets worse in verse 26. Let's move on. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. What is about to follow in the text is referred to in various translations as vile affections or degrading passions or shameful affections or shameful lusts. Now, the Greek word for vile, atimos, is the opposite of the word timos, which means honor. You put an alpha, we would say the letter A, in front of many Greek words, and you've negated it. You've made it the opposite. Timaeos, or time, means honor. Atimos, opposite of honor. Dishonor. Despised. Reproachful. Shameful. Yeah. What follows in the text is different in degree from what has preceded in verse 24. There, perhaps, uncleanness, fornication, sexual immorality, all that outside of marriage, other sins against the body, all bad, maybe that's all included, but we're going down a step, a big step. That second word, we talked about vile affections. I told you about vile. Let me tell you about affections. That's passions, even desires. And by the way, that's a neutral word. When you see the word passion in the scripture, that can be very good, that can be very bad, like religion. We don't say religion is bad. There's nothing wrong with religion. And there can be, but there doesn't have to be. Religion's a neutral word. Personality is a neutral word. That person has personality. Well, everybody has personality. Do you mean a bad personality or a good personality? You see, there are some words that need an adjective so that you can tell what's being said. In this case, it's very bad passions, very bad affections. sexual relationship in a marriage, man plus woman, very good. God approves. He wants this for all of his people, except a select few who are called to singleness for him. But affections can be vile, degraded, dishonorable. Men can turn away from God's usage of the gifts that he gives. Man can get bored with the divine plan. He goes outside of marriage. That doesn't satisfy either. And so he seeks more satisfaction in perverted lifestyles. Trying to be human, up with people, mankind becomes dehumanized, twisted in its thinking. Thinking he is progressive, man degenerates. The vileness that Paul is about to describe has been with us for a long time. Now, in America, we were spared for many generations from a serious outbreak of it. In my lifetime, it's come from a closet sin of anywhere from ridiculed to hated, but always because it was somewhere else. It's gone from there to the law of the land, celebrated in parades and rallies, protected by the legal system, the media, and by a fearful populace who dare not speak against it for fear they'll be accused of a hate crime. And even those who aren't afraid of being accused legally and going to jail, they're afraid of their neighbors. They're afraid to say anything that would cause their neighbors to think that they're not with it, that they don't get it. Even being isolated and rejected by neighbors. Well, let's go on record here. We do hate whatever God hates. And God hates sin of all sorts, including this one. And this is a sin, and it is to be hated. The sin is. In Canada, some have been arrested already for speaking out against this. Cases are now in our own courts to decide just what are the rights, not of the gay community, that's been settled, but of the non-gay community. Suddenly the biblical standard is being asked to justify itself instead of the anti-biblical people being asked to do so. This is what happens when God gives up mankind and allows mankind to seek his own devices. Next comes a shocking statement for some. I'm in that same 26th verse. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Shocking. Not because we find here that women are involved in lesbian relationships. We kind of knew that. But because they're mentioned first. Commentaries look at the word even their women, and conclude that Paul is mentioning the females first because of this very shock value that I mentioned. But in fairness, we've got to say that even, the word even, is a word that shouldn't even have been in the text, I think. There's a Greek word there, but nowhere in the New Testament is, quote, even a translation for that word. It's never translated even. Someone was trying to make a smooth understanding for us. Thank you, KJV. We appreciate what you try to do to help. Sometimes their help doesn't help. It's not a big deal here, but there's a little word in the Greek that is there, te, we would say in English, te, te, a little particle. It's used together with another te on the other end of things later in the sentence. And put those two together, and quite often you have the combination both and. In other words, both the women and the women. Both the women and the men perverted the use of sexual relations. That's how the text, I think, could read. Verse 26, for both the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, and likewise also... Yeah, that they also is in 27. They should have put, I think, both there at the beginning. Anyway, you'll see that in most translations, the te is not even translated at all. they see it there. It's in all the Greek translations, Greek texts, but some people just ignore it and just say, for their women exchange. Anyway, once more, humanity is showing up at God's store. Verse 25, the store, exchange store. Hey, God, we're not satisfied with this male-female thing. Can we trade it in? Something a little more to our liking. After all, hey, I was born this way. After all, one size fits all is not going to work in the 21st century. After all, a person has to seek out his own identity, God. Be his own person. That's what you had in mind, right? God says, sorry. No exchange. I don't have what you want here anyway. But I'm going to transfer your order to that other store. I'm going to give you over. Yeah, you don't like what I sell here? I know another place you can go to get what you want. Satan will have it. Go on down the road. What you want is against nature, what I created. I created a natural world that was in perfect order. All the animals reproduce after their kind because of a male and a female. All the creatures that went on the ark went two by two, male and female. Nature works. Your ideas don't work. They're unnatural. They're harmful. They're sinful. They're devilish. I've destroyed whole cities, toppled empires when humanity sank to this level, and I will do it again. So how bad is it in my country? Or what used to be my country? Gary Gates, UCLA School of Law, April 2011. This is going back 7 years. Drawing on information from four recent national and two state-level population-based surveys, the analyses suggest that there are more than 8 million adults in the United States who are either lesbian, gay, bisexual, comprising 3.5% of the adult population. In total, the study suggests that approximately 9 million Americans, roughly the population of New Jersey, identify as LGBT. Among adults who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, bisexuals comprise a slight majority, 1.8%, compared to 1.7% who identify as lesbian or gay. Women are substantially more likely than men to identify as bisexual. Estimates of those who report any lifetime same-sex sexual behavior and any same-sex sexual attraction are substantially higher than estimates of those who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual. There are also nearly 700,000 transgender individuals in the U.S., an estimated 19 million Americans, now we're up to 8.2%, report that they have engaged in same-sex sexual behavior. And nearly 25.6 million Americans, now we're up to 11%, acknowledge at least some same-sex sexual attraction. You're walking down the street, it's a chance, good chance that one out of every nine people you meet leans this way. And add to this the growing numbers of the population who approve of this way. Add to this that this report is old and I think conservative from other things that I read. And you'll realize we've come a long way, the wrong way. That's all I have for today. We'll get to verse 27 and the men. Next time, God willing, we're doing this, as I told you last time, once a week now. I finally caught up with my studies, and I can't afford to do more than one a week right now. And this few weeks, also, I've told you that I'm cutting back and generally on my weekly schedule because of a book that has arisen in my passion. I hope it's a good passion. There's just something I've got to write about, and it's taking up so much. I think I'm over the hump right now, but there's still a lot out there that I have to do, and I'm cutting back on this speaking schedule for that reason. So, Lord willing, if for those of you who are in real time, which happens to be Monday, August 13, 2018, for those people, I will see you in a couple days, Lord willing, Wednesday, when we will talk about Mr. Brainerd. What a story that one is. And then Friday, we'll go back to John Harper of the Titanic. There's other things in line, waiting in line for us here. It's good. It's good. So much good that God has done that we can counter this evil with. But I'm reading to you from the scriptures, and they are not evil. God wants you to know some things. Amen? Of course, amen. Well, I've got North Korea audios for you to look at. I've got North Korea photo updates pretty regularly. I've got a Quran study, a Muhammad study, a through the Bible course or two, commentaries on different books, and more. Would you go and look through my site and see if something there will bless you? I hope so. That was the meaning from the beginning. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. By the way, every once in a while, I've got to stop and tell you, I had a guy ask me just last night, what in the world does that mean? It sounds so strange. Hackberry is the street I used to live on. Don't live there now. But while I was there, and it was quite a few years, it just sounded like the home of an author. You know what I mean? Like it was someplace in England or something. Hackberry House. Okay. It's just a thing. All right. But then the Chosun part, I was doing a separate thing about Chosun, which is the old name for Korea. And so I was so interested in Korea and so interested in writing that I put these two ideas together eventually, and that's what this is, the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.